Hello, welcome back to the next episode of the Radio Nasties podcast. I'm your host Richard with my co-host Vic.
Purgatory's over. You can go to hell.
Purgatory's over. Quarantine's over.
Yeah, this is my point. Like, this was kind of purgatory. Now you're back. I feel like I'm in hell.
No, actually, hell was better.
I was going to say hell, yeah. Hell, or hell.
No, like hell was better. Yeah, like, I can't even make that joke anymore.
Well, you haven't seen the film yet.
Well, yeah, I've been to hell.
So yeah, we're actually back in the same room, and I've been staring at Vic's face for a few minutes, and I'm already starting to feel physically ill.
It didn't take me a few minutes.
just the thought.
Yeah.
Should we just go back?
You walk past the window, and I was like, should I open the door? Should I just leave it?
Right, let's just close this and go back to Zoom then. Fuck this.
Yeah, let's do that.
Right, so it's my turn to pick the film we're going to watch, and we're actually going to watch it together for only the third time this season.
Yay.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, it's for me.
Is that a bad thing?
It's a good film for me. Very good thing.
So, for today's episode, I've got a lovely film from a certain European country. Oh, the look on Vic's face right now.
I'm not even saying anything.
It's brilliant.
I'm not going to say anything.
This is a Spanish horror film.
Yeah. Swings and roundabouts.
From 1982, directed by, forgive me for the pronunciation, Juan Piquet Simon. It's going to be my guess. If you're listening, I don't even know if you're alive. If you are alive and listening and I've said your name wrong, oh well. Stop having such a Spanish name. And
the funniest thing is, you said it in a French accent.
Yeah, I did. It makes it seem.
There we go.
And
at least it's not Babadabobo this today, which was when you said that. I thought it was going to be Italy. Hey, Babadabo, Gabagool. I've just watched Sopranos. Not long, by the way, listeners. So I've been doing for the past like 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, so today's episode is going to be the cult classic Pieces.
Cult classic.
Yes.
That could mean two things.
A wonderful Spanish slasher film. So we're going to
I haven't seen it yet, so it might not be. Might not be wonderful.
Am I being sarcastic? Am I not? We'll find out in about 90 minutes, and then we'll be right back.
To talk about this shit, probably film.
Right, we're back from watching Pieces. What did you think of our first post-quarantine movie?
I'll get into that in the ratings. I'm not going to let loose any. I'm going to be emotionless for the rest of the episode. I'm just going to say every single point like this, so nobody knows.
Well, throughout the film, you kept saying the words 5 out of 5. So
yeah, but don't tell them that.
Ignore that.
Emotionless. That's what I was through the film. Yeah, he didn't. No emotions. Whatsoever.
So the film starts in Boston, 1942.
Very specific.
I just had a thought because they mentioned that the dad's in the Air Force, that he would have been
in
World War II. Didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
So a camera zooms in to a house, and there is a young boy
doing porn puzzles.
I like how he just cut doing porn puzzles.
That's what he was doing. All right. Let's not skirt around that. He's doing fucking porn puzzles. And his mum is having none of it.
The porn puzzle industry was huge in 1942.
Yeah. Didn't have broadband even then, did they?
No. They didn't even have dial-up. Exactly. Why did you have to specify they didn't have broadband?
I think I meant dial-up, actually. That's what I was thinking of.
They didn't have any.
It's just like, remember when you were trying to load things up and it'd take like an hour for a picture? And then, like, this is the 1942 version of this. It's just, it takes you fucking ages. You've got to make the pit.
But you could just start.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a long, young boy, little Timmy.
Little Timmy. And he's not down a well in any part of this movie. It was severely disappointing. 1 out of 5. Little Timmy was underutilized. I had enough of it.
If I see a character.
There weren't any wells. Never mind Little Timmy's in them.
If I see a character called Little Timmy, I expect him to be in a well.
I do.
So yeah, as Vic said, he's doing a porn puzzle, and that's not like a euphemism or anything. It's a puzzle of a woman with a tits out.
Yeah, it's like a pin-up puzzle, I suppose, isn't it? It's more of a pin-up woman.
Yeah,
but
they're probably not advertising.
You know what he's doing it for?
Is a mum charged in the room.
She's having fucking none of it.
No, she's not too pleased with Little Timmy's
dirty porn little
puzzle.
Bastard. I don't know, it's something like that.
It's something, yeah. Yeah. She overreacts. Like, she starts, like, smashing up the room.
She's like how I would expect fucking Kathy Bates' character from Misery to react to something like that. I half expect to go, you dirty birdie.
This is how Vic reacts when I say we're doing an Italian horror film.
Yeah.
It's,
no! Yeah, probably, I do throw a tantrum. Stomp my feet. Off air, of course.
But we'll record it next time. Yeah, so she's fucking trash in the place. And,
yeah, she's like, oh, I'm going to search your entire room now and find more of these porn puzzles.
And she does. She finds, like, porn mags and everything. It's like, where has he got this from?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, you're just like your father.
It's like, what? I don't know. What? He sits in his planes wanking.
To fight the Nazis.
Yeah, she's not happy.
No.
She's told poor little Timmy, she's like, go off, stupid, and get me a bag.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
Parenting.
This might be why he is how he is.
Parenting 101 from this woman. Yeah, you know, maybe just sit down, like, you know, you're a bit too young for doing this.
Don't be wanking. Not yet, please, for my benefit.
So, yeah, she shouts, hurry up, stupid, bring me the bag. And then he doesn't have a bag with him, does he?
Or little Timmy's
brought something else up.
Something else.
He's brought a axe, and he asks her a question.
Yeah. And, yeah. Straight in the forehead.
But yeah, right in the centre. She falls to the floor. And then almost immediately, some woman starts ringing the fucking doorbell.
Like, yeah, she's like,
where the hell's Sandra?
I heard noises outside, and it sounded like an axe going into someone's forehead.
Did you find little Timmy's porn puzzle that I gave him?
They're always northerners, aren't they? In your ones are like, oh, do you find a porn puzzle?
Every film ever is northern.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's ringing the doorbell, and it cuts to little Timmy cutting up his dear old mum.
Happily.
Yeah.
He's got this grin on his face. It's just like, yay!
It's the best day ever.
Yeah.
And
maybe it is for
immediately,
him.
The fucking cops appear up.
Yeah. Yeah, like, already suited and booted as if, like, they know there's 10 serial killers inside. They just show up, they're like, oh my god, get in the door!
They just go up to him and say, oh, anybody being murdered here? Well, yeah. It seems logical. I've rang the doorbell twice now and nobody's answered, so must be murder.
I mean, I saw her an hour ago, but I think she's probably dead now.
So, the police go up to the bedroom and they find the mum's body all cut up. And one of the cops just goes, Jesus, will you look at this?
Yeah. That reminded me of, is it Big Gay Al from South Park then? Jesus, would you look at this?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's gnarly. Yeah, that's Mr. Slave, isn't it? Yeah, Big Gay Al doesn't say.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Slave is the one I'm thinking of. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I love Mr. Slave. Yeah, and the cops also find little Timmy, not in a fucking well, in a wardrobe. I'm like, now you're adding salt to the wound. Not only do you not give me Timmy in a well, you now giving me him in different locations that I don't want him to be in. I don't want him to be in these places. I don't want him to be
Timmy
in a well.
Journey around the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, they find fucking little Timmy like wailing in the cupboard, like, you did it. So you fucking cut her up. What are you whinging about? And the woman just comes out of nowhere, like, well, her dad's in the army, but she's got an aunt she can live with. So you're quick to throw this fucking kid away, aren't you?
Yeah. Mrs., I've just fucking checked on my friend once.
I tell you, I think she's planned this all along.
I was going to say, like, it seems like she's... That's what I'm saying, the cops, I'd be like, why are you here? Have you got something to do with this?
So we cut to 40 years later.
Yeah, just a little time jump.
For the people who aren't good at maths, that would make it 1982. And we get shots of a man with black gloves.
A man in black.
He opens a box of bloody shoes.
I think it's the dead mum's as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it does, like, a little flashback thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got I think he's got a dress in there as well.
Yeah,
the mum's dress.
Yeah. You see what he's doing with it later on.
Mm.
It's lovely. It's really nice.
Yeah.
And then we just cut to, like, the happiest woman that I've ever seen in my life. Just
I don't
on
understand.
Skateboard. You liked this woman, didn't you?
Well, I mean, she was in it for 2 seconds. And then she died. I assume she dies.
But the way they were doing the shot, it was like it was supposed to be like an introduction shot to, like, our main character.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here we go. Here's our...
She's the kind of person that whistles in the morning. She's so happy. It's annoying. And then she goes... And then they give me what I wanted anyway. She goes straight into the... There's these two guys, like, moving a mirror. Like a giant mirror. And she just skates straight into it. And I assume she dies because you never see her again.
No, is she not the woman that you see in a minute?
No, because, I mean, like, she'd have horrific fucking, like, gashes from the mirror that she just flew into. I mean, if it is her, fair play to her. Fucking hell. Like,
that's what I thought, because I saw her, like, lying on the grass and she was absolutely fine. But you just smacked
straight on into, like, into a thick glass. It was thick glass.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those two fucking men were, like, struggling to lift it.
Yeah.
Right. So we cut to another girl who, well, another girl, maybe the same girl. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. Not that it matters.
She's lying on the grass reading a book, and there's somebody cutting. There's like a gardener.
This is hilarious because she's like, "Oh, how long are you going to be?" And he's like, "No, not that long." And then he just chops her head off.
I think it's somebody else with a chainsaw. I think that the gardener was just a gardener, and then there just happened to be another man with a chainsaw.
Yeah, I think that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is what it is.
I know.
Yeah. Oh my god, this movie.
So the second chainsaw. Man, lobs this poor girl's head off. Do you think she's smacked into the glass and be like, oh, well, at least this day can't get any worse.
Yeah.
Beheaded. At least I got out of that unscathed. Oh, well, yeah. Time for a nice relax and sit down in the park.
I just love it, the fact that they have that interaction before it, though. And he must be, like, giggling to himself. Not long.
Not long till you die. Who said
what?
That?
Yeah. Tell her what? Till you tan.
Till your head stays on your neck. Well, that's most my days, favorite then. Place for my head to be. So,
to be honest with you, my head's never been anywhere else. So maybe I would prefer it somewhere else. That'd be a strange movie, wouldn't it? Just like someone's body parts goes on holiday, just his head comes off, goes to Iceland.
We cut to our two main cops, whose names I never caught.
No, I just called the one guy I knew was the guy from City of the Living Dead.
Yeah, one of the cops is from City of the Living Dead.
And then I called the other guy City of the Living Dead guy's mate. So
the worst nickname
I
can't, I've ever
heard. Yeah, I know. It took me ages to write, and I wrote it a few times.
I just called him White Hair Cop.
What?
Yeah, they're talking to the dean of the college or university or wherever this...
Well, this girl that got beheaded is from this college, isn't she? So they've come to talk to the... guys, to see, like, what's going on here? How come there's way more beheadings in your school than the rest of the county? Your quota is way too far up.
We've only had four. We've only heard about one. Yeah, one. We've only had one. Well, the campus in the town over's only had half a beheading.
Some weird one.
What?
Finish the
half
job.
Half a beheading?
You lazy cunt.
Yeah, she's like nearly headless Nick.
Oh.
Then after that, we cut to a load of students just openly smoking weed in, like, the hall.
I think it's supposed to be weed, right? But then I'm pretty sure it's just a cigarette.
Was it?
But then they're acting like it's, you know, like...
Either way, whether it's weed
heroin.
Or just...
They're sitting there, like, passing it, like, oh, look,
put the crack pipe away.
Yeah, that's what it'd be nowadays, wouldn't it? Oh, horrible glimpse into their future.
But if you're worried about being caught, don't do it in the middle of the hallway. Yeah. Go around the back of the school.
Go somewhere else! Go home. Go home and smoke. I mean,
don't think any of these kids have homes.
Jesus. I mean, oh, yeah, they live in the school, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, at least go to your dorm.
No, but even when there's, like, a murderer around, they're like, should we send the kids home?
That's all right. I don't like them, so...
I mean, I'm the one killing.
We'll do a Deadpool.
Why would I send them home?
Yeah,
why did you tell me that?
All the teachers just get a Deadpool going. They're like, right, who do you think's going to die next? Right. And then they just get like a betting. And the cops go in, like, is this a Deadpool? No.
I feel like you're pitching a movie to me right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Their first Radio Nasties production.
Jesus. The first, as if like it's been, that's what the fans have been waiting for, is our first production.
All two dozen of them.
Oh, man. Yeah, but they're smoking weed and like fucking getting wet over this Spanish Vincent Price. Oh, man. He looks like...
I forgot that's what you called him.
Resembles.
Yeah, this is our first introduction to Professor Brown. Who apparently, or him and Kendall, apparently God's gift to women. Because every woman is just frothing at the gash for him.
Yeah. Yeah, so Vincent Price goes and speaks to the dean's secretary, doesn't he? Because he gets called in to be, like, interrogated.
Yeah.
And they go with Spanish Vincent Price, was it? Professor Brown. To his classroom, and he, like, instantly tries to hand them over a 16-year-old skull.
Yeah.
He's like, do you want this? Not really. It's a 16-year-old skull.
Quite incriminating.
Yeah, like... Well, they're kind of like, what the fuck have you got? There's two of them on the table as well. It's not as if it's just like one 16-year-old scholar.
I'd love if they went in and it was just like, oh, 16-year-old scholar. What do you teach here? dance? And you have a 16-year-old skull.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah. Collect skulls.
From where? Like,
or from bodies, obviously.
That's what we're trying to get at. You know, we're... Yeah. Oh, my God. There's a lot of these scenes where it's just like, they go in, they start getting interrogated, and then it just doesn't go anywhere. And then they're just like, oh, are you the killer? No. All right.
Yeah, it's enough. Just like they fair set enough up, like, so many red
there's so many of these. Yeah, I don't understand, like, because there's so many characters in this movie that just go nowhere. And I kind of want the movie to be about them instead of the people we got. Like, because you've got this Spanish Vincent Price. They don't do anything with him. He gets, like, some sort of mini payoff at the end of this film, and you're kind of like, this is the revelation of Vincent Price.
It's like, got nothing to do with anything.
Exactly. And then there's the gardener, which we'll get to in a minute, who, spoilers, goes nowhere. And you're like, is he? No. He's not the killer, because he's, like, 14 foot tall. And the killer isn't 14 foot tall. And he looks like a gorilla. Fuck it. The guy is built like a brick shit house.
He's huge. Yeah.
And then this man in black is,
you
like, very slender.
You called him a Spanish Leatherface, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's like Leatherface if he got a normal job. Got with a step family. So he's all alright. Or is he? Yeah, the dean talks to him in the next scene, actually.
Yeah, because they mention something about work taking longer. And then he's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to charge you any extra. But I feel like this was like a weird subplot that didn't go anywhere.
There's loads of weird shit.
Was this just an excuse to have the gardener lingering for longer than
needed to be? I guess it's just...
I didn't really need an expert. I wouldn't be confused if this university or whatever had an ongoing gardener. Like, well, yeah. Yeah. Probably got a lot of hedges to trim. A lot of weeds to dig up. If anybody's seen the live-action Popeye movie... The gardener's played by the guy that Pluto plays Pluto.
Yeah. There's a scene here
which... It's really hard to explain this over audio, but he always has this constant look on his face.
Yeah, it's like one eye's... He looks like Popeye.
Yeah.
But he's Pluto. I don't get it. It's just like he's like... He looks
maybe
like Popeye.
He auditioned for Popeye and be like, you're a bit big.
Yeah. Actually, do you think he looks like... You're fucking Pluto. That's who you are. Well, that's my name. You get a scene now where they do it a few times through the film. And the man in black's just like doing his fucking puzzle, which is taking him 40 hours. That'd be kind of acceptable. 40 years.
I don't even 40 hours.
No, I could accept that more than 40 years.
If it was like a 1,000-piece puzzle, but like, yeah, that'd probably take about 40 hours.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a puzzle on this planet that will take 40 years.
Oh, it shouldn't.
And I think I'd get bored.
Yeah. He also there's some lad in the library. He throws away this paper ball, and then the man in black kind of comes into the library, picks it up.
But no, within this library is like, why is
that
man dressed in all black?
Yeah.
He's got a massive black trench coat.
I'm guessing
and
it makes
a huge hat.
Is it because though, like, he wouldn't have been wearing that, like, when he's because it only shows you his feet for most of it, doesn't it? It makes more sense now that we know who he is. That I suppose
he
didn't
like
have
shots of his gloves and stuff.
Yeah,
but why?
I suppose gloves, and then yeah, if he's wearing the hat, he just wears that stuff.
That guy looks very ominous.
Yeah.
He looks like the sort of person that would cut people up with chains.
Yeah. But he picks up this ball that the lad throws away. This paper ball. Which turns out to be a message for the girl in the next scene. But you don't know this going into it. So the next scene is this girl just undressing in a pool.
Very
seducingly. Yeah.
No like, one's there.
Yeah. And
this makes perfect, I guess.
She goes for a swim. And then, the man in black shows up, right? And he goes, right, what's the best thing to get her out of the pool? Grabs a fucking net from the... Oh, and then he grabs her around the head with this fucking net and drags her to the side of the pool. He doesn't even have her in the net. It's just like lightly over her forehead. And she's just like, oh no, you've got me. Like she's some sort of fucking human fish. I don't understand. Oh, and you know what annoys me more than that? The thing that annoys me most, right, is this. You see him walk in. You see him walk in the fucking,
while she's having a swim.
Yeah. And, she doesn't see him. Yeah. And once he's got her up in the net and he grabs her onto the floor, and she's like she's just been choked, like, by, I don't know.
She's a human fish.
And then he goes and grabs his chainsaw, which is like handily left behind.
Yeah, better get this.
Yeah, but he doesn't walk in with it.
No.
So he must have came with
it.
She's going to be here. Maybe he's got like the chainsaws placed around the whole school, just in different places. So
yeah,
like,
does this school usually just leave their chainsaws by pools?
Yeah. But he beheads the girl with it.
But she, like, makes no effort.
Nah, she just kind of backs into one of the pillars.
Yeah, it's like, there's a big jump in the pool, at least.
Yeah, try something. I mean, he's got you with a net. Try again.
Yeah, if he goes with you then again,
it's a big
smack
pool.
Get away from him.
I don't understand.
You can't chainsaw you in the swimming pool. It's not going
to
work.
I mean, the first time it would happen to me, it'd been around my head, and I'd been like, what would... You know what she should have just done? Like, gone underwater.
Yeah.
And swum away.
Yeah.
It's like he's going to find it hard to catch you in there with a fucking... Oh.
Especially if he's got a big leather jacket on. If he goes in that fucking pool, it's going to weigh a ton.
You try and pull him with a net. Ah, you're in there now, mate. So then there's this... The next thing is this nerd lad. I don't know. I never got his name. But he's the main guy's friend.
I guess.
The main guy's Kendall. And he gives him the note that I'm assuming it was supposed to be for this girl.
Because for some reason, every girl just wants Kendall.
Yeah.
And he's not the sort of stereotypical good-looking
kind of like
guy
that
all the girls would want.
He's kind of like the normal guy.
Yeah.
He just looks normal. Except that
it's
he wears horrific jumpers.
Leaning on the nerd side.
Yeah. The note was obviously supposed to be for Kendall to meet her, and it's too late. And so it cuts, and we've got the man in black. He's dragging like this bloody sack.
While breathing heavily.
And moaning. He's like, ooh. It's like, why can you stop doing that? Doesn't even make sense as well, because the guy who it ends up being doesn't have breathing problems.
No.
So is this just an added in horror thing? So the gardener stumbles into the swimming pool. He comes in. He finds the bloody chainsaw. He's like, you know, the gardener's like, what the fuck? With that stupid look, that Popeye looks like, oh, there's something going on here. And and he finds the girl that's been chopped up into little bits. And then Kendall's in there and he runs away. So the gardener chases him. But then when he opens the door, there's two policemen there. Are these the same policemen from, like, 1942?
I think
they just
are.
Showed
just
up.
They're just the fastest responding cops ever.
They don't age either. In fact, they get younger.
They're time-travelling cops. That's how they're always at the right moment at the right time.
There's a spin-off of this. Yeah. But the like, Willard...
Yeah, the garden's
the
Willard,
garden,
which is not the name I thought he'd have.
He looks like... what's that strongman guy? Eddie Hall.
I don't know his name, but I know you're on about.
Yeah, he looks like him.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't look like him, but he's as big as that guy. Like, well, probably not, but he resembles that man.
He's a large man, is what
yeah.
I'm trying to say, and his name's Willard.
He fights with...
He just fights the cops off.
But he, like, throws them about, because he's, like, 10 feet tall. And they're both, like, hanging on to him. He's just like...
just not going to do him any favours.
No, I know.
You just own up. You'd be like, I know this looks bad. Honestly,
just like,
honestly, lads. It's not me, you know, I understand, I'll come in, we'll go for questioning, we'll get this all sorted.
I'm going to throw you in the pool. Yeah. So he's not going to get done for murder, but he might possibly get done for police
I want to see the scene with his lawyers. Like, the great thing is they've dropped the murder charges, but unfortunately you are going down for physically assaulting two police officers.
I mean, you killed one of them. He fell and hit his head, Willard. He fell and hit his head.
I only smacked him lightly. Look at you, though, Willard.
Yeah, no. So they end up, I think it's the City of the Living Dead guy comes in and just puts a gun to his head. He's like, stop. Come on. Stop killing my police officers.
At least he's had sense, like, right.
Yeah.
We ain't going to beat this guy in a fist fight.
But the next thing that the City of the Living Dead copper does is he gets fucking Spanish Vincent, Professor Brown. He's like, oh, come here, mate. I need you to have a look at something for me. And he's like, all right. Yeah, comes up and he's like, you see that corpse that's in pieces? Yeah. There's a chainsaw next. I can see that. It's right there. Yeah. Can you see it? Well, it's right there, detective. Okay, no, I'm just checking. Do you think, right, because we're having a debate here, do you think that that chainsaw and those, that them several body parts there, do you think they've got anything to do with each other? And then, like, Professor Brown just gives him this look as if to say, like, do I? Do I really? You're a police officer. A detective, no less.
No, but the great thing is, like, Professor Graham, like, touches it, and then the cops are like, you've just destroyed evidence now, you fucking prick.
And it's like, you're in charge of the investigation, mate.
Look at it.
Yeah, Like, could you not have told him? Oh, by the way, look at it, but don't touch it, mate, because you might get your DNA.
At least wear some gloves or something.
And he's like, he lets him. Do you reckon he's just like, I'm going to let him go over there and touch that? You fucking cunt.
But you can tell Professor Bounds, like, annoyed. Because he says, yeah, I'd say it's elementary.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what a silly thing to say.
You fucking called me all the way fucking down here. Yeah, to ask me. I was knee fucking deep in pussy.
Yeah.
And you call me down here to look at. Do you think this dismembered girl could have been cut with this bloody chainsaw? Yeah. Right next? There's not a chance in hell that they're related. No, I think it was that net. I think it cut up with that net.
Turns out he did. Oh, it's just the blood got on the chainsaw from him. Oh, fuck me. So then Kendall and his mate, they have to, the cops come up to them and they're like, right, you need to be in the dean's office because they're going to interrogate you. And while they're going there, the detective, he's telling the dean that he says that they need to put a spy in the campus to check out all the kids. It's just like, oh, like I said to you when we were watching it, I just got the image of Steve Buscemi, you know, with the, the skateboard. Yeah. Oh man. He interrogates the secretary while he's interrogating Kendall and his mate. And they're kind of asking them, like, you know, why were you there? And obviously Kendall's like, oh, she asked me in a letter to go there and fuck her. Pretty much. He doesn't say that, like, word for word, but that's what he's trying to get at. And the See the Living Dead guy is quite cool with him, isn't he? He's kind of like, oh, you know, well, here's my card. Ring me when you feel better. Yeah.
Well, Kendall pretty much just gets invited to be on the police force. Like, we ain't got a fucking clue what we're doing, Kendall.
Yeah, so give me a ring.
If you could help us out.
Give me a ring. Appreciate it. Yeah. It turns out Kendall does most of the police work in this movie. There's this dancing class going on, and the man in black does this ominous like look through the little. They've got like one of them little windows at the top of the door, and he just stands there like in it's in like, you know, eyesight, and he's just like looking through it. Like if any one of them, there's like 17 girls in this fucking room, right, and they're all doing this dance facing the door,
and none of them like, what's with that? Man.
Incredibly creepy male. Creepy. But one of the girls, the class stops, and one of the girls leaves, and she gets stalked, you know, kind of through the campus by the man in black. And it ends up being a fake out because one of her friends pops out instead of the guy. And he's
scares the shit out of her.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like,
oh, what a relief. It's like, all right, did you want to be scared?
I live for the thrill.
Yeah. Yeah, so the next scene, Kendall and the detective, they go to meet with that... I was about to say, Detosking, then?
They go and meet up with Jeez. The Death King.
Yeah.
They go That's the weirdest up. Crossover I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. They go and meet with Dr. Jennings. They're trying to get a profile of the killer. He leaves him in there with him, the detective. Detective goes out, talks with Mary, who is a former tennis player.
Tennis champion.
Get
it right. Tennis champion.
Yeah, fucking hell. Don't undersell
her. She's won fucking Wimbledon, I'll have you know.
Yeah. And now she works for the police as a secretary, I guess. Like some desk job.
I don't even know if it's a secretary. Because obviously they wouldn't put her...
Well, it's like she's like... She sits there though and she's like, oh, I'm so bored doing this.
Yeah, I think she's implying that she wants to get out on the field. And they're like, well, we've got a kick for you. Remember how you, left this job because you were sick of being a tennis champion? We need you to go undercover as a tennis coach.
It's just like I've been.
I'm not sure I'm right for this role.
I've been typecast in real life.
This is probably a case of when like somebody's like lied on their CV and like, oh yeah, because I was as a tennis champion.
Yeah. She's like, ugh, misses the ball.
It's a bit rusty, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, using a shuttlecock. That's tennis, isn't it? No, that's badminton. I thought they were the same thing.
My life's a lie. I'm actually a badminton champion. Nobody told me. All the way
She thought she was a
Yeah. Is this Wimbledon? Yeah.
They just like, we don't have the heart to tell her.
Nah. She's really good.
Badminton.
Yeah, but all I'm saying tennis. This is like, she goes to a badminton concert. Oh, fucking hell. But Kendall comes out and he's all like, Dr. Jennings is finished with me. And then the detective is like, oh, by the way, look out for this girl who's in the field. She's an actual police officer, but I want you to look out for her. It's like, I've got no authority. Look, please do it, Kendall. You all right? Like,
and this woman's like at least like 20 years older than Kendall.
Yeah.
Kendall's like maybe like 20 years old at most. Yeah. This is like a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I can look after my fucking self. I don't need fucking Kendall.
Can you imagine if this was made today? She's just like, she'd fight 40 men now in the next scene to show that she's strong and able. It's like, see, I can be a police officer.
At tennis.
Yeah. Some fucking journalist shows up, Sylvia or something shows up to try and talk to the detective, and he just like goes, oh, go and talk to Mary. She'll be able to tell you something. And then just fobs her off. Weirdly enough, this character actually comes back. The next scene, we've got Mary. She started as the coach. And
She's just slaughtering some poor girl as a fucking tennis.
Yeah, I know, like destroying her. It's like, fucking hell, have some humility.
Do you think she's like, you must be some sort of tennis champion? Yeah, or something?
And she's like,
no, just a regular tennis coach. You're beating three people at once, Mary.
No, I haven't. You have? Oh, I must be some sort of
Sandra's
champion.
Sandra's already dead. She's the first woman to ever die from tennis.
What was it, from exhaustion? No, she was humiliated.
Humiliated to death.
Oh, no, that's definitely happened before. After the match, the dean talks to her, and he's kind of like, oh, you know, do you want to come and see me after hours? Do you want to come and hang about with me? He's like the sleaziest guy ever. Just like, oh, do you want to fuck? Do you want to come and fuck me? And Mary's kind of like, you know, calm down. You know, it might be all right. And she's like, we'll meet after.
And he's got like this stereotypical sinister voice to him.
Yeah. And she asks him if any of the faculty know about her. And he's obviously, no, no, no. And they also say that Willard's been released.
Yeah, not enough evidence. Yeah.
Not enough evidence? He battered three police officers. Like, well, I think you can do him for something. Evidence. What?
Not enough murder.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like,
yeah, he definitely got away for assaulting several police
officers.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand.
I like how this is your main gripe with him. Well, it definitely would have went down for that.
Yeah. I mean, like, how incompetent. This is what annoys me about this movie. Every single character, apart from, like, Kendall, maybe, is incompetent. They're all fucking idiots.
And most of them are fucking police officers.
Yeah. They're all, we don't know what to do.
Lot, actually.
Yeah. The Man in Black does some more puzzles. So we needed this. You see him do his fucking puzzle.
About 90 seconds, and he's just like struggling to get.
I know.
But the fact that he does that makes me think that's how the shot was supposed to go.
I mean, it's like a minute.
Or they would have done another shot.
It's like, this is fucking awful.
Did they just decide that, like, oh, this film's about 90 seconds too short? Can we get like a puzzle scene where he struggles?
Specifically. They specifically said that in the memo. Have him struggle.
Well, I don't know, 90 seconds. Maybe we could have like another kill scene or something. Like, no, I think the audience want more puzzle scenes.
Yeah. The film's called Pieces, You Dickhead. Put more puzzles in it.
I'd love to see that conversation. The film's called Pieces, You Dickhead.
Studio shows up. There's not enough fucking pieces in this film. I mean, there's several body parts. I don't give a fuck about the
Why
body
didn't
part.
You call the film Several Women Being Killed Horrible.
Yeah.
The film titles don't have to be literal.
Oh, fucking hell.
There was no apocalypse in Apocalypse Now. Felt robbed.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, actually. That film's a lie. But then you do get a kill next scene, because he goes back to the dancing studio, and that poor girl is in there on her own. And, you know, we get, like, a chase scene.
She's, like, doing a bit of, like, solo practice, right? And then she's done, and Shell's getting her fucking shoes on and shit. And then as soon as she leaves...
He walks in,
and I've got to say, like, this bit was shot amazingly.
Yeah, no, it does look cool.
Shot.
Yeah.
But then, with no indication that there's anyone, like, after her, she just starts running down the corridor.
Yeah, no. But then she gets to this lift, pushes the button, and then the Man in Black stands there, and he's like, you're right? And she's like, yeah, you're right. It's like, you've just been running from someone. Did you see who it is? Do you think it could be an ominous Man in Black?
With something clearly behind
him. Yeah, he's got... Oh, I mean, I know it's a mini chainsaw, right? But, come on.
What?
Like, holding this behind your back. I've got nothing behind my back. Is it your phone? No, it's...
Well, no,
is it a gun? No. Fucking... He gets in the chainsaw. He gets in the lift with her. She doesn't see this chainsaw.
Well, she, like, but pushes, then he like, there's, like, a green button and a red button, and she presses the green button, And then like he pushes the red one, and she's like, can you not do that?
Yeah, I'm trying to get home. And he's like, I mean, you're annoying me now. Do I not look ominous enough? You're humiliating.
What about now? Yeah. Pulls the chainsaw off.
Pulls the chainsaw out and
cuts her fucking arm off. Like, clean off, just like, whoop.
Yep. It's a cool kill, this.
Oh, it's great. This is one of my favourite kills ever.
Yeah.
So good.
But the Kendall and the coppers are just outside again.
But again, Kendall's like taking the charge. It's like he's literally two steps in front of the cops, well, and they're following
the
him.
Two cops run to a chained door, rattling. They're like, oh, this will come open. And he has to run to them, goes, can you stop? It's not good. There's a fucking I'm going to go in the window and I'll go and open it from behind.
And Kendall goes in the window. Yeah. The cops see him, like, oh, he's in now. And then they go back to the gate. But like, go in the window with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Kendall's got to open the fucking gate for them.
Yeah. They come in. They go into the lift.
Kendall's not even being fucking paid for this.
Nah. They find the dead girl in the lift. Who's like, both her arms are chopped off.
Yeah.
I think she's still alive. Because well, after this, they say pieces. Something about her being in shock. And that she's not going to make it. It's like, fucking hell. And then the two cops just puke.
Do you think they got Professor Brown to tell her that?
It's fucking mean.
Find this woman, like, no arms. Do you think she's going to make it?
How long has she been there? For a while. She's lost a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Are you saying that she's going to be all right?
Bathed in
blood. Yeah. Kendall takes charge, though, and he's like, go get the fucking lieutenant. This cop is just like, a doy. Standing there, like,
well,
looking.
You've got one who's spewing up, and then the other who's just like got no emotion on his face. Just standing there, just, like,
yeah,
another day on the job.
Oh, fucking hell! Oh, this is it. No, I'm not lying though. Like, I have got serious PTSD. I've seen some horrible killings in the last 6 months. So this poor man's got shell shock. Oh, I want to see a film about this police officer now. Just like nothing phases him because he's seen everything.
Oh, dear.
But the lieutenant, or the detective, whatever the fuck he is, the City of the Living Dead guy, he shows up. And Professor Brown is there as well with Kendall. And they basically say that they agree to that they need a complete search on the staff. Willard funnily pops out like in the background at this bit as well, just like comes out, and nobody turns around and goes, are you sure you're not a killer? Because I saw you nearly take apart, well, they didn't see him, I suppose, but I heard you nearly took apart three cops. Like, nobody is fazed that Willard's back.
No,
it's like he was a murder suspect. You don't think anybody'd be like, Willard, you're right, like, you know, like, nobody.
But I think the two cops he beat up were these two cops.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, they're like, shut up, put your head down. Don't look. Yeah, don't make eye contact. He will establish dominance. So the next scene, Kendall just wakes up in bed with a girl.
Hanging dong.
Just cuz. Yeah, he just looks at that. He's like, oh, the. He wakes up, right, and he's like, my spidey sense says there's something, somebody walking outside. Because he just gets up and he's like, looks out the window. He's like, I knew there was someone walking outside with his cock out. He's got his cock out. Just stand at the window.
But this girl's quite normal,
oh,
isn't she?
Oh, my God. So this girl, she's like, what are you doing?
She's got the most... Where are you going, Kendall?
Don't go! He starts putting his jeans on. And she's like, oh, why are you getting dressed? Please don't go. And then she's like, do you want to gag me? That'll shut me up, won't it?
What?
Do you want to wrap me up? Do you want to chain me up?
You want to fuck me?
Do you want to chain me up? Fuck me in my ass? Look, you're freaking me out.
She's like the woman from Sightseers. Come and punish me with your cock.
But she's genuinely, like, I don't know, like the most insecure woman I've ever seen on film. Because she's like, please don't leave. Like, she literally goes, like, I'll let you gag me.
I'm not leaving forever.
No, I am now. The way you've reacted. I've got to go. You're cray cray.
I don't imagine like this is his girlfriend, because no, obviously he was going to meet the blonde woman like yesterday.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
What do girls just have really weird standards on this when the fucking top two blokes are Kendall and Professor Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's getting with Willard.
But he'd be the one. I could understand if girls were like, fucking hell, look at Willard. He could show a girl a good time.
Yeah, he's massive. Oh, man. Mary's the person that's walking outside, though. She's, like, searching around. Just like, hoping to stumble on the killer, I guess. What kind of fucking police work do these people do in this movie? They just walk around, like, do you reckon he's here? Is he? No, I don't know.
He might be.
Yeah, he might be. Turn your torch on. Why wasn't it on in the first place? We're in pitch black.
But yeah, Mem.
Oh, you can take this one, mate, because I'm going to crack up. Never mind. Maybe we're both going to crack up. Oh my god. Talk about characters that don't go anywhere.
This one goes all over the place. So old Mary starts hearing some weird noises. And then all out of fucking nowhere, some Asian man...
Bruce Lee shows up.
Yeah. The funny thing is, this actor's name is actually Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
It's not Bruce Lee, but it's Bruce Lee.
Yeah, doing
He comes out of nowhere, starts doing mad karate moves, while just shouting out the most stereotypical, like... Like,
poor Mary pulls out a gun. She's like, 70! Save me!
If an Asian man came out and he was all like, you'd be like, I'm gonna fucking die.
The best thing is, those kicks are gonna take her head off.
Yeah.
Like, he is trying to kill that woman. Is this what happens when martial arts trained Asian men get startled? They just go, they just start fucking. Oh my god!
And then he just faints.
Well, she like kicks him in his balls, I think.
Yeah,
then just falls straight down. Like, oh,
and then you hear what you think is a chainsaw, but it's just Kendall on a fucking motorbike.
And you're like, oh, psych.
How big is this fucking campus? So he needs to hop on a motorbike to get around.
Yeah. Well, he's usually just around places.
Yeah. And then Kendall comes in. It's like, oh, don't mind him. That's just my kung fu professor.
Yeah. And then he gets up.
And he's like, my kung fu professor sounds like a fucking 80s comedy with Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Like, this summer, Jackie Chan is my kung fu professor.
Yeah, it'd be some like PG coming of age 13. Martial arts film where the kid and his kung fu professor like fight crime.
He's a former kung fu champion and he has to go undercover.
Oh, as a kung fu coach. Oh.
And the fact that he's presented as my kung fu professor suggests that this man has a PhD in kung fu.
Yeah, he does. And then decides to batter women who startle him on runs. I wonder how many times he's done this.
But then he gets up and he blames it on bad chop suey.
He's so sorry. Bad chop suey, and you're like, oh my good god.
It gets worse, doesn't it?
Yeah. When he leaves, he walks away, he's like, oh yeah, so sorry. So wrong, as in so long, he says so wrong.
And that's not Vic taking the piss.
No, he says so wrong. And it's like the poor man, obviously, is, you know, he's an Asian man, struggles to say the L, you know, make the L.
He's dubbed.
Oh my god.
Which makes it worse. So they've got somebody, probably not god. Asian, to dub over him.
So wrong.
Bad chop suey.
Oh my god. Hiya! It's the guy, it's the old boy from fucking Gremlins shows up.
It's a Gremlins prequel.
Yeah. He used to be a kung fu professor before he was a seller of strange goods. Oh my god.
Now, apparently, the story behind this is. Is that somebody involved with this film, I don't know if it was the director himself or maybe a producer, was working on another film with Bruce Lee, as in this Bruce Lee, not the Bruce Lee, in it.
Right.
And apparently, I think he was like an up-and-coming star at the time.
Right.
And he was like, well, while I'm paying him, I'm getting my money's worth, put him in pieces. And that's how they literally just insert him in. Oh, we'll just have him fly in and shout some horribly racist stuff.
And assault a woman. It's all good. And then it goes, no, you never see him again.
Nope.
You never see him again.
Nope. He just walks off, you know, probably to sleep off his bad chop suey.
Yeah. Go and assault another person on his run.
That'd be great. He apologises and you just hear it in the background like, yeah.
They should do it. Yeah.
Oh my god. I think that's one of the most racist things I've ever seen. Oh,
it was incredible. It was. I was like, what is going on?
That scene's one of the main reasons I picked this film.
Jesus. It's worth the price of admission, that scene. So the next scene, the journalist woman who comes back, she's sniffing about and she ends up getting stalked by the man in black. There's this really cool shot. She walks into like this building on the campus and there's this really cool shot where the man in black's obviously walking up to the building, but it's just his shadow. It's really cool. It's, you just see like, and his shadow's like really big because it's obviously like on the building. It looks so cool. Yeah, he walks in. He walks into the building after her. She ends up like checking this room where the chainsaw is like visibly on the floor. And she's like, oh, nothing weird here. Walks away.
Pretty normal. Yeah. Chainsaw's spotting up all over this campus.
He's standing in the corner as well.
Yeah, he's like standing like with a knife or something. He's like, I can't believe she didn't see me.
Yeah. But she ends up getting trapped in this. He chases her. She ends up getting trapped. And she is stabbed on a waterbed.
Yeah, this was another cool kill.
Yeah.
The blood just like pours into all the water and it just turns into this big bloody mess.
Yeah.
It's like in a little like a bird's eye view type overshot.
Yeah, it's cool. She tries to get away a couple of times as well, doesn't it? He just like, drags her back. It goes into like slow-mo at one point.
Yeah.
As well, doesn't it? Kendall walks Mary to a door and she kind of gives him like this little kiss on the cheek and he turns around and he's like, oh, you're not making coffee? It's like, fucking hell, mate, you're presumptuous.
Jesus. And you'd think at this point she'd give her the talk like, right, I'm a 40-year-old woman, and you know I'm a teacher at your school. This isn't, you know, this is just not appropriate.
Oh, so what are you saying? We've got to take it slow. I can't fuck you, Kendall. What are you talking about, mate?
No, but she doesn't say that. She's like, yeah, maybe next time.
Yeah, like maybe next time. Maybe next time you can have my minge,
my tennis champion. I mean, my tennis coach.
Yeah. Well, Kendall knows anyway, doesn't he?
Of course he does. Yeah.
But Kendall. She shuts the door and Kendall turns around and his nerd friend's just there with a mask on.
And he's just out Casanova.
And he's like, you're alright. And then that's it.
Do you ever see him again?
I think you might see him later on, but I don't think, not in any capacity. Like, you didn't need him.
If I was his friend, I'd be like, can you leave some pussy for the rest of us?
Yeah.
He's taking the fucking piss now. We fucked every girl in this school.
We see that the man in black has the journalist like hanging in this like, I don't know, like this freezer room or something. Some, I don't know, room his. And then he does some more puzzles, because we needed that. We needed more puzzle scenes.
Maybe that's why he's struggling with his puzzle so much. All the pieces are frozen together.
Yeah. The next morning, the tennis girl, I think the tennis girl is the one that the tennis coach beat in the match. And she gets annoyed because...
didn't die of humiliation.
Yeah. She gets annoyed at the speakers that come on and start playing like irrationally loud music. Yeah, she's just like
practicing by herself, isn't she?
She's like, fucking turn them off. So she like storms off. Has a shower. She comes out, starts getting dressed. Man in black's there. She's like fucking, what? She gets her trousers on, doesn't she? But obviously she's topless. We're in a slasher. So she runs away. He chases her. Kendall and Mary are walking past, but the speakers are obviously playing, so they can't hear anything. And the man in black ends up trapping the girl in the bathroom. And there's kind of like a semi-shining, like, scene here, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Where, like, she locks herself in the bathroom and then he chainsaws the door. Like,
but she already knows that he's got a chainsaw.
Yeah,
I'd be like,
it's a wooden door. You do realize this is what chainsaws are literally for.
Yeah, they cut through wood. Yeah. They're quite good at it.
But he kind of starts chainsawing her midsection, doesn't he? And then it kind of cuts away.
Yeah.
And Mary and Kendall they bump into Willard and they're kind of like, fucking hell, mate, what's going on with these speakers? And he's like, it's not part of my job. She's like, well, I thought it was.
Fucking gardener, you bitch.
Yeah. And they kind of like convince him to like, come on, we'll show us where it turns off, you know, so that we can go. And Kendall stays behind. They find the controls and Willard kind of finds the keys and he's like, these keys aren't mine, which is your first indicator that something fishy's going on. He turns off the music. They go back. They're looking for Kendall, who comes out of the fucking door and he's like, oh, there's been another one. Poor Kendall's like got fucking PTSD himself now, isn't he? And he tells Mary to go and have a look. She goes in and the dead girl's been like cut in half. It's pretty cool, to be fair.
Yeah.
Cool effect. Mary comes outside and Kendall's like, oh, you're right. And she's like, no! Bastard! 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 And he's just like, what the fuck? Like, chill out. You're a police officer. Like, be a little bit professional. Well, she's kicking off because, you know, she's like, oh, we could have saved her, but we couldn't hear her because them fucking speakers. The lieutenant, he rings his mate and he's like, you know, fucking come on, mate. Why have you not got any leads? We've got to get on with this fucking case. You've got nothing yet. And he's like, oh, you know, It's hard. And he's like, right, well, I'm sending Kendall down. Super Kendall. Superman Kendall down.
Tomorrow now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it nearly does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So he says, you know, he's like, oh, I don't need any help. And he's like, yeah, you do. Like, in so many words. And he also says, he's like, oh, you know, he's a suspect. We can't use him. And he's like, oh, he's not a fucking suspect. And he's like, yeah, but by the book. And he's like, well, the book says, catch the killer.
That's and we're it. Not doing that, are we, really, no. Greg?
The man in black puts some shoes on a hanging corpse in this little scene now.
Yeah.
As you do. Maybe it's Quentin Tarantino. Mary has, like, a little conversation with Professor Brown. And he comes out with, like, a weird line. Oh, on a campus like this, you need to be tough. It's like, yeah. You're not in the fucking...
ghetto.
Yeah. Or in a war zone or something. Like, you're in a campus.
Well, you got to fend off some pretty horny teenagers.
Well, I don't. Well, I do.
They're all after me. I'm sick
help
of
me.
It.
Kendall turns up. He says he's working for the police. And Mary asks him where the dean is. And he's like, oh, you won't find him around, about at the minute. But go to his quarters after 7 o'clock. Yeah. Fine, and then we see Kendall, this fucking pointless little shitty scene now where Kendall, like, goes to his job and he's like, what do I do? And then the guy's like, oh, you see them files over there? Go through them. And he's like, okay, that's the scene. Like, what the fuck? Why do we need that? Such a pointless scene. It annoyed me. Mary goes to meet with the dean. He's, like, straight away like a fucking weirdo, and he's like, oh, you know, come in. Give yeah. me all the blue. Would like some coffee? He's like, oh, I've made some tea, but I suppose you want coffee. And it's like, all right, mate, chill
out.
Yeah,
don't make assumptions.
Fucking hell, man, what? So he goes and makes her coffee, and he puts, like, some drug. He roofies her. Like,
some drug. Bit yeah. of drug.
And then she, you know, they go back. They have this, like, I don't know, like a minute-long coffee. Talking
but
about...
it just came off, like, straight off the fucking kettle. She, yeah. like, downs the fucking thing.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, do you want another one? She's like, yeah, go on then. And then he drugs that one as well. He's like, oh, I'll throw some more on this. Fucking hell. And she mentions that the next point of protocol will be doing a search on the entire school. And yeah, he gets, like visibly yeah. shocked. He's like, oh, shit. I obviously know there's something going on here now as well, because he's drugging her coffee. I think we know that there's something a bit fishy about this dean now. Is he the killer, you reckon?
This would be great if this was another red herring.
I know, can you imagine? He's just drugging her because he's a rapist. Yeah. Kendall, like, instantly finds a file. He's yeah. like, oh, what about this one?
It's like the one at the top.
Yeah. And then they go. He makes a phone call. The lieutenant's mate makes a phone call. He's like, oh, I don't know about this, but I'll try. Rings the guy. He comes back. He's like, oh, no, it's the dean.
Yeah, he watched his mum get cut up when he was a kid. Probably fucked him up.
Yeah. It's funny, because Kendall turns around and he's like, oh, shit, I told Mary to meet him there after 7. And the cop is like, mother of God. Just, like, overdramatically. It's like, I know she's going to get killed, but, I mean, oh. Chill out. The Dean and Mary are still talking about Professor Brown. And fucking the Dean drops a bombshell.
Out of nowhere.
I was wondering about the entire film. He's like, oh, did you know he's a homosexual? It's like, all right. And?
There was something I loved about was delivery, because it was like, Mr. Brown is a homosexual.
Yeah. He also says something
like, give him,
like,
his credit. He's a professor. Professor Brown is a homosexual.
But he also says, he's like, oh, he almost killed me, you know, but I'm very strong.
But he's also about, like, as long as he follows the rules, it's his own affliction. So like, follow...
his affliction?
He says something like that. Something Jesus. Like horribly, you know, fucking... yeah. So, what do you mean, the rules? It's like, yeah, you can teach here, mate, but don't be, like, fucking all the boys or whatever it is, you homosexuals.
Don't be bumming any holes around here.
It's like, well, but... obviously I'm not going to have intercourse with the students. Yeah, I know, but you are gay, so... doesn't mean
you
I'm
are...
going to bum little boys.
You are afflicted.
I'm very strong, you know.
Mary starts to get affected by the drug, and
but he has to point her out. It's like, that's the effect of the drug I gave you.
Yeah,
just in case the audience is like, why is Mary acting yeah. weird now?
Oh yeah, he drugged her. There's a little scene where the coppers inform the lieutenant about the dean. He obviously, our head's there as well. It's funny because the dean puts, like, this plastic sheet down. He's like, oh, we don't want to make a mess in here. No mess. No. It reminds me of the scene from What We Do in the Shadows. You know, he puts a newspaper down.
Yeah, and it doesn't work.
It gets everywhere but the newspaper. So yeah, the Lieutenant Kendall and the Lieutenant's mate, they all...
The great thing is they're going up to, like, the Dean's office. Yeah. And the City of the Living Dead guy, he's like, oh, you'll make a good cop one day, Kendall, but this is the end of the road for you. Yeah. I thought he was going to, like, shoot him in the head or something. Yeah. Like, this guy's been showing us up.
Yeah.
He makes, if people find out that Kendall solved this crime by looking we'll at the first file on the pile, while we've been waiting weeks, no evidence,
loads of people are dead,
we're going to lose our jobs.
Kill him. Get rid of the body. It'll be easier.
Shoot him in the head, cut him up, blame it on the dean.
I don't know if this is going to be easier, Jim. No, it is. They all converge on the dean's office, though. They have to shoot their way in, don't they? They go in there. Mary's fucking paralyzed, but she's on her own. And the killer is hiding behind the curtains.
And poor Mary's like trying to fucking hard.
She's like,
her eyes are like fixed on these curtains, and they're like, "Don't worry, right? Mary. The men are here now. We'll save you." And she's like, fuck, so she can't say anything, but like I say, her eyes are fixated. Mm. It's like nobody's questions. Like, I know the curtains are nice, Mary, but come on, we've got to get out of here. The dean could strike at any moment and kill us. And she's like, fucking curtains.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Kendall didn't automatically know. Like, open door, he's behind the curtains.
Yeah, with his thermal vision. Fucking, and what else you got, Kendall? So Kendall nearly gets stabbed by the dean. He walks Mary away. He's like, oh, come on, I'll fuck you. And, the dean, like, comes up behind him, nearly stabs him, but, yeah, he nearly gets stabbed by the dean.
But Kendall, you know, being the absolute titan of everything he tries, yeah, fights him turns off round, with ease.
Yeah. I wouldn't say with ease, well, I suppose. They struggle.
Yes, but, you know, they have clarified that the dean is very strong.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, he even, like, does this, they do this, like, close-up on his face where it's like, it looks like he's not even, like...
But he's doing none of his heavy breathing. No, he's just at, like, every other moment.
I know. It went nowhere. It's like, why?
Maybe it's just all the leather weighing him down. It's
like, yeah.
I know I'm strong, but this is a lot of leather.
But he ends up getting a horrible effect with the headshot. It's just a paintball. Like, it's like,
yeah, on his head. He just comes in and shoots him, like, squaring head. Perfect shot.
And he's dead. And then they find the completed puzzle afterwards. Oh. What kind of fucking gay does puzzles for 40 years? And as they're looking at the puzzle, there's this, like, secret... Well, I suppose it's not secret, but it's like a cupboard or something.
It's like a revolving door, isn't it?
Yeah.
Behind the bookcase.
And it spins round, and this fucking corpse... And you find out what he's been doing the whole time.
Yeah, he's been taking different pieces of girls and...
Pieces.
Stitching them up, and he's dressed it up like his old mummy.
It's kind of like a psycho thing.
Yeah.
And Kendall makes a horrible noise, which is like because it falls on him. And they've wrapped up the corpse, you know, it's the end of the film. They've put a thing, a cover over the corpse. They're walking away, you know, everything's sorted, you know, everything's fine. They've found out, they've stopped the killer, they found out his ulterior motive. And,
Kendall goes to fuck many more women.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
Or does he? Out of nowhere, the fucking stitched up corpse woman fucking just grabs Kendall's junk
and like, squashes it.
Yeah. Like pretty much rips the fucking thing off.
Yeah.
And that's how the film ends, just with old poor Kendall screaming.
Again.
Macaque.
Fucking hell. Oh.
Oh, and that's pieces.
That is pieces.
Right, go on then. Give me your ratings.
Right, as a film, I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 5. It's fucking... The film itself, the plot is fucking horrendous. Horrendous. There's no character development apart from Kendall the Superman. It's not really character development, actually. He's just like that from the beginning.
He's just a superhero, yeah. Apparently.
Yeah, there's no character development. There's too many characters in it.
Yeah.
Like, Vincent Price goes nowhere. Bluto goes nowhere.
It's just red herrings for the sake of red herrings.
Yeah, but it's like, I guess the point was like, and then at the end, it's like, with Vincent Price, oh, he was a homosexual. It's like, why does any of this fucking matter? I don't understand. Like, I don't care that everyone in this film, apart from Kendall and probably Mary, is incompetent.
Especially the cops.
Especially the cop, which is, again, like you said, is probably more realistic than anything. But it's got some really cool kills. Really cool kills, actually. And it's got some cool cinematography. There's some cool shots. Yeah. And it does what it says on the tip. It's a slasher. I don't think it's aiming to be anything fucking special. So it does what it does fine. perfectly fine. It's probably one of the better slashes I've seen.
Well, one of the other taglines for this film is, it's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, yeah, they knew what they're doing. It's fine. The kills are cool. That's all you're there for, really. I mean, I'm not.
Kills,
I'm not...
and racism.
Yeah. Oh, that scene. That scene is worth it for the, that's, is worth the price of admission. That scene. That scene is incredible. That will go down as one of my favourite scenes in cinema history. It comes out of fucking nowhere. Discount Bruce Lee.
His name is Bruce Lee. Yeah. Just makes it so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. It was alright. It was alright. It was. I mean, maybe I'm being... I'll give it a 3 out of 5. It does... Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot higher than I thought.
Yeah, no. It's... Well, it does everything that it needs to fine. It's just... I mean... Friday the 13th doesn't have good character development. Still a good slasher.
Horrible,
you know?
Racism. That's what it's missing.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. No, it's all right. It's all right. It's the kind of film you could just put on, I suppose. You know what I mean? To have a laugh with mates, or if you're just... Yeah, I just want a shitty film tonight. Put it on. It's one of the better shitty films you've showed me. Put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good shitty film.
Yeah.
It's a typical slasher. Fun fact, yeah, it's probably 4 out of 5, probably. I didn't love it, but there were some scenes, like the Bruce Lee scene, that just make it. Annoyingly enough, the characters that go nowhere are the characters that I wanted to find more about.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do actually count a lot for my enjoyment in this film. Willard's hilarious. Vincent Price is hilarious. Even the Dean's funny, like, at the end.
I think it's first funny because of the way he talks.
Yeah. Right, it's a fun little movie. Yeah, I enjoyed this rather a lot.
Genuinely shocked.
Really? Did you think I was going to hate it?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, no, I thought you'd find it fun, but I thought you were going to say, like, oh, this film's fucking awful, but it's fun.
It is pretty bad.
Yeah, but I thought you were going to, like,
it's not fucking awful, because, no. I mean, it's got some really good, like I said, it's got some really cool shots, and the effects are really good. Like, really good, apart from the paintball headshot.
The same director did another film called Slugs.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, I watched that a couple of weeks ago.
Is that shit?
No.
Oh,
no. It was generally so much better than I thought. I thought it was going to be just trash, and I was like, that was actually quite... Again, it's not a masterpiece, but I was like, that was quite like...
Well, that's what I was like with this film.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be an absolute piece of shit, but
we'll have to do that one at some point.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's a good little creature feature.
Your ratings?
Yeah, I'm going to give it 3 as well.
Yep.
I thought when I said 3, you were going to be like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like I say, the effects, apart from the fucking paintball, pretty good.
Yeah.
But, like, the kills are...
Decent.
Like, I'm trying to word it without sounding like a psychopath, but the kills look gorgeous. Like,
well,
they're shot.
They kind of, like, the kills in this film kind of shocked me in the same way as the ones in The Burning, I suppose.
Yeah.
I know there was less of them in The Burning, but it's like, they're those kind of kills, you know, where they kind of just, like, horrific violence happens quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's done really well, like you said.
Most of what you see is, like, the aftermath. You'll see, like, a limb come off, and then you'll get a shot at the end, and there's just blood
everywhere. Yeah.
The elevator scene, the waterbed scene.
I think the elevator scene is the best kill.
Yes, definitely. Elevator scene's my favourite one. And then the tennis player.
But I do like the one in the bathroom as well.
Yeah.
I know you don't see it, but I do like the effect where they had her in half is cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, there's some great cinematography. Especially that scene where the killer opens the door and it's like sort of like blue lit. That looked really nice.
It's the shadow, or the shadow one for me, mate.
Oh,
the one where it shows you in shadow on the building. Yeah. I was like, that's fucking cool.
Score. Fucking great.
Yeah.
I've got the score. It's so good. It's so fucking catchy. And then fun factor, I'm going to ramp it up a little bit and give it a full on 5 out of 5 because I fucking love this film.
Yeah.
This is like my bread and butter trash.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and say it's the greatest fucking film of all time, but it's one of the greatest trashy films of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable film. Anything else you want to add?
No.
About Pieces before we wrap up?
I recommend it. If you're a slasher fan,
I'm genuinely shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nowhere near as enthusiastic about it as you.
Oh yeah.
But genuinely, I mean, if this is an essay on an hour, I'll probably get it. So it's worthy of being in my collection. That sounds really pretentious.
I was just about to say, like, it's worthy of my caliber.
But no, it's like there's a lot of Arrow trash that you would buy which is fine. Not that I'm saying you just collect trash, but there's a lot of trash that you like. You can take a higher level of trash than I can.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So, like, there's, I'm very picky and choosy with my Arrow, but, like, this I would buy.
Yeah.
But looking on the cover of it, which I saw, I have seen this in the sale, I don't think I'd buy it. So I'd judge them, judging it by its cover, I suppose. But if I read, like, the description of this, I'd probably be like, nah. So I'm glad that I watched it because it is pretty good.
Cool. Right. Vic's turn to pick a film next week.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure whatever it is, it's going to be better than Haunting. So,
be careful. I mean, now you said that, I might change.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. So do you actually know
what you picked? No, I don't. No. Of course I don't. But now I can. Well, now I can change my mind. Maybe I was going to be nice.
You didn't have your mind made up.
Yeah, but maybe I was going to be nice. I might have had my mind made up about that already. I was like, oh, I'll pick something less bad. But now, who knows?
Right. Yeah. Join us next week for whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.